Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour to encourage you is John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning.
And Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Hello, hello, hello. Give a shout out to all of our listeners. If you hadn't heard it yet, you got to check out the first hour. Cottondale Elementary School had to take down their manger scene. Take down their manger scene. They're being sued. You also need to find out about what the USA Today is saying about the president of the Palestinians in the West Bank, saying that now they're a state and they're not going to be satisfied until their flag is flying over Jerusalem. And they want to work out a peace treaty with Hamas. Israel's like between a rock and a hard place. This is horrific. What's taking place over there. Also, about being the family of God, resting, understanding it's time to get your rest, to get your focus. It's so important. Some times are coming. It's going to require much from those who are God's people. And you want to be strong. You want to be strong and courageous and realize the Lord is with you. You're listening to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton. Oh, here we are in the Extra Hour.
Yes. Well, here we are back in the Extra Hour. I tell you, time is flying by. But, you know, I in God's News Behind the News, I don't know if you guys saw this over the weekend. I don't know if you saw it, but
what?
Great tragedy happened. Jovan Belcher, he's a football player.
Oh, my goodness, yes. Yeah, it's terrible.
Did you hear about that?
Oh, my goodness.
It was very, 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 very tragic. He's a 25-year-old football player who committed suicide, shot himself in front of his coach. And
that was after
person.
He had shot his girlfriend at the house, supposedly, right? Allegedly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's afterwards.
Okay.
Oh. And they were...
No, that was first.
Has to be first.
Well, that was first, right? I'm talking about he committed suicide afterwards, obviously.
Okay. Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, well, after he... murdered his girlfriend, but they had a 3-month-old child.
It's horrific, dude.
They had a 3-month-old child. He's 20. I mean, think about it, 25 years old. So promising NFL career.
He was a lineman. He was on the front line.
Right. And you think about, you know, it's just sad. They're still kind of investigating what happened. This just happened Saturday. It just happened.
Did you hear if you're a player, you know that your coach had a fight to get you on that team and trained you, and you're indebted and grateful to that coach. And the situation, it appears, based on the reports this weekend, was the murder took place at his home, and obviously a rage and some sort of whatever. And then he goes to his coach that was his coach, I'm the head coach of the team. Mm-hmm. And he's there, and he pulls a gun out there, and he says, "I just wanted to thank you for everything that you did for me," and something of that nature. And then they try to talk him out of it, and then that's when he actually shot himself right there in front of the coach. And it's like so many men are in that predicament. Listen, that could be you out there. That could be you out there. You're trying to figure out, I'm trying to do this thing, but you're trying to do it without God. I mean, if you're living with that woman, you're not married to her, and that's your child, get married to her. Find God. Listen, this is too tough to do on your own. And listen, so many things are against the way the man thinks, the way God's designed you. And you're going to be, in a constant state of flux and frustration. And most of the world is living that way right now, so they're not going to be able to help you. They don't have any wisdom. And my heart just broke for the whole situation because if he would have turned to God and had godly men in his life, other men, they're going through the same struggles, and like you said in the first hour, that this could have possibly been prevented.
Right. I mean, proof positive how much we need each other. You're just talking about relationships, and how much we can carry each other's burdens, and now this poor young 22-year-old girlfriend, mother of a child now is gone, and you have a young baby now who's fatherless and motherless.
Yeah, she was 22, right?
Yeah, she was 22.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we need each other. And it's proof positive that, you look at a celebrity, you look at someone who you think is successful or has money, and let me tell you something. All that glitters is not gold. I mean, you can have everything that the world thinks that's the greatest thing in the world to have, But if you don't have God, you know, if you don't have God, at the end of the day, if you don't have Jesus, does it really matter?
Meaningless.
Well, think about this too, is that here is a strong, hard, I mean, everything that you could possibly imagine. Everything that you can imagine being
physically fit,
physically, exactly. Which proves, you know, that this is not a physical battle, even though we want to sometimes react out of our, that's what a man does. A man just reacts physically quite often.
Just out of instinct.
Out of instinct. But it's going to be one at, it's going to be one at the cross. It's going to be one on our knees. It's going to be one. This is us about promise keepers when we used to be, you know, the way that they were when we come to the stadiums and men would just fall down to their knees because that's the predicament that men get in without God. And without God, it is hopeless. It seems hopeless, you know, and you just want to stop the antagonist. You want to stop. And all of a sudden we start thinking this person is the problem instead of Satan being the problem because we don't know anything about him, Satan, if we don't know God.
Right? Yeah. When you look at it, I mean, you know, men right there, they're under so much attack in the nation. I mean, every form, the world's trying to do everything to replace the man, to replace the father in the home, to get them out of the picture, if you will. You'd be so much bombardment that you need to reach out. You got to have relationships, you know. And I don't like. There's a recent commercial, and I don't even like this commercial, but they're playing it often. And the guy's at a checkout stand, and he pays with his card. He's at a particular store. And then somehow the guy who takes his payment says, oh, you just saved X amount of dollars. And then he kind of goes into a daydream where each family member is just praising, oh, Dad, you bought me this. I'll love you forever. The wife says, oh, you're awesome. I got you this. And the kid says, oh, thank you, Dad. This is what I always wanted. And the father in this commercial is so filled with joy. And it's almost like you were talking earlier. It's like he was buying their love. You know, he didn't have any value until he got a gift. He wasn't all that until she got what she always wanted. And it's like, man, if you're alone under this type of bombardment, no man's gonna make it.
Yeah, you won't. It's impossible outside of God. And but it is sad. It's sad to see that and to watch what is taking place in so many men's lives. And I would love to see that stopped.
Yes.
You know,
then you know, if you guys saw this, it's reported that during the football the next day, because it was Sunday, you know, I have a Saturday, Sunday's football. A lot of games were played on that day. And Bob Costas started making a remark, it's reported, about gun control. And it was a lot of reaction on social media in regards to it. And, the real tragic situation that occurs, you know, oftentimes, a lot of times when people get, you know, are killed and there's a use of a gun, it's always a proponent. It's always someone trying to talk about gun control.
Mm-hmm.
And is that really the right way? I mean, do we, you know.
Well, you can jump off a building. I mean, that's.
I mean, yeah. Right. I mean, so many things, you don't want to pull away a Second Amendment right that's given to us. You know, you don't want to start attacking that, you know, and it's like people kill people. You know, it's not, guns don't kill people. People kill people.
And some people say, well, if he didn't have a gun, this wouldn't happen to him. But the truth is that that's probably the least ways that people end their life, you know, with a gun. You know, there's so many other ways, just driving intentionally, radically, taking medications, you know.
Sure.
But, you know, I do want to say that, you know, our prayers go out to the three-month-old, that's right, three-month-old child.
And we understand
the family members came and got their child. You know, how do you, when you're first looking at it, you're thinking, I can't believe you guys are going to play Sunday. I just, for some reason, that was my first reaction was.
That was my thought
I can't
as well.
Believe that you're going to play Sunday. And have a lot of mixed feelings about that, you know, because when a player plays football, what he's doing is going to work.
Right.
You know, it's like you go to your job. Mm-hmm. And if your boss tells you got to go to work, and you got to go to work. So it boils down to who was the ultimate one called. And then they get paid per game. You know, the money comes for a game. It's like, can you afford your house anymore? Can you afford your car if you don't show up? Or sometimes You can't just throw a blanket over that and just say, hey, you know. But at first I'm thinking, are you really going to play tomorrow? Are you really going to play? I mean, one day you couldn't pause. And no matter how we look at it in the context of God, it's like you couldn't even pause for 24 hours when the society that you're allowing to happen and develop and take place in America now, you know, falls in on itself. And a young girl, 22, and a young man, 25, life's end. And they were a revenue source for you, business person. You know, they showed up at work. They did something. They contributed something. And as a matter of fact, from what I understand, he was like a leader as the players. Players, he cheered on the players and one of those encouragers.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just kind of shocked, you know, that they didn't even ponder out loud, at least ponder it out loud so that it looks like that he's worth stopping for.
Yeah. In fact, on the contrary, I think what I heard allegedly was that there were reports from people that were saying, please don't stop the game for the fans. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What?
Yeah. Yeah, it makes me wonder if the team let them win because they did win. It makes me wonder if the team lets me win. You know, we talked about in the beginning, and I know that you have something to share there, but that you know, what sparked off this whole next phase in my spirit with Israel and what's happening with the Palestinians, with the West Bank and Hamas and all, again, it's like it just won't stop. But they told Stevie Wonder that he could not go to the Israeli Defense Force, the soldiers there, they call it, you know, IDF.
Yeah.
He was planning to go there to be able to play his music and entertain them. And United Nations told Stevie Wonder he couldn't go. The United Nations told an American.
Mm.
And I don't care how he's related and what he does at the United Nations, but the United Nations told an American that they could not go to entertain the troops and do whatever he was going to do with Israeli Defense Force. And this, my shock was.
What gives them the right to do that?
Well, you know, why do we obey them? You know, why do we obey them? And they, of course, I said, okay, let's just hear it. And the other stuff just started downloading. But listen, United Nations is growing in power. Our nation's giving them that kind of power. When the United Nations says don't do something and we don't do it, that they put themselves in power. And it's crazy. You know, the carnal nature of humanity, you think as we grow, get wiser, if you wouldn't think it would be the same as it was on the playground when you were like 5 years old, but it just seems like that. You know,
yeah.
if you seem like you got the bigger stick, you know, and no matter what, and the carnal nature of humanity just goes, okay, well, that means we won. And
right.
It's like, no, that just means it's crazy. So you can't give in to that kind of thing.
Well, they were even trying to introduce some law, the UN was, some treaty about disabled people. And it was about so that the disabled across the world could get the same treatment. And a bunch of in Congress, they were getting together, you know, voting against this and talking. You know, Rick Santorum was up because, you know, he has a disabled daughter, Bella. And it's just like, they're overreaching. It's like, what are you doing trying to influence? It's like, you're influencing everything in America. It's like, what are you doing?
And of course, we know what that means. It just means that the church is in sin and that this is what happens when the church is in sin. I mean, these kind of things happen. It's spelled out very specifically.
Yeah.
In the Word of God, you know, is America under God's judgment? You know, you can look and go to VFNTV and see that, and you can listen to or watch Josiah and understand it's just happening like clockwork. It's happening clockwork, and we want to talk about all these things, but the end result is we just need to turn to God and repent, and maybe God will relent. I mean, look, He was hours away from destroying Nineveh. I mean, he was hours away, but he called it a great city. He didn't want to destroy it, and he doesn't want destruction to come to us. Not sorry, him to destroy it, but he doesn't want us to fall in and be destroyed. That's not his goal.
Mm-hmm.
His goal is for us to be able to live.
Right. So, you know, it's just very, very. We need to make it during this time. You know, I want to share something with you as far as God's just behind the news thing in this recent path here. I don't know if you saw this, but in San Bernardino, California, they were told this city now is reaching bankruptcy. And this is, you know, we're starting to see a trend here. It's all about fiscal cliff. We're talking about tough economic times, but they're reaching bank. They're in bankruptcy, and they had to lay off 80 police officers. 80 police officers had to downsize. You know, we saw this in Detroit. We saw this in Camden, New Jersey. We saw this in Detroit when the Detroit police were telling the tourists that were entering Detroit, enter Detroit at your own risk. This is the police saying this. And now there's an attorney for the city allegedly telling the residents, lock your doors and load your guns.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
This is the attorney from the city now, okay?
And, you know, we can survive this, you know, but you're right. You're absolutely right.
You know what I mean? So he says, because they will need to start protecting themselves due to the diminishing number of cops on the streets. And he says, you know, it is the perfect example of why self-reliance is so important. It's not, because when the government can't protect you anymore, you have to be able to protect yourself and your family.
Right.
And so it's like, oh my goodness, are you serious? I mean, 80 police officers. And your heart goes out, it's like, wow, you know, what do you do when the city is cash strapped? What do you do when the city's reaching bankruptcy and just can no longer afford to pay the police officers that are going to protect the citizens? And they saw a recent spike in murders that year alone. And so the Constitution is important. The Bill of Rights are important. The Second Amendment is important. You know, the Second Amendment is that you have the right to bear arms. And it says that a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed.
Right.
And we saw this in Detroit.
I know, right?
We talked about the proposed tax on bullets. Remember when we talked about it on
FNBF? Yeah, I remember that.
On radio. And it's like, are you kidding me? Taxing bullets.
Unbelievable.
Camden, New Jersey, lost their whole police staff, their whole police. And so they, instead of having city police, they went to a county, police, non-union police officers to protect the entire county. And so, listen, I mean, you need to stay abiding. You need to stay close to the Lord. You need to stay to a place where you're hearing from God because, you know, he's the one that's going to protect us.
But
we can't throw away our Second Amendment rights. We can't throw away the right to bear arms. You just can't do that away. I mean, and you can't have an over-reliance on government. We talked about this, and if you haven't got this teaching yet, you got to get this teaching. SOS, the Tale of Two Kings. I mean, are we going to rely on government to do everything?
Right.
Or are we going to rely on God and the wisdom that God gave us? You know, he says, you shall not eat on bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Listen, we're going to make it. Yes. We're going to make it by hearing God.
That's right. That's the only way we're going to make it.
Yeah, we're not going to make it by, you know, our own schemes, our own strategies. I mean, having our best schemes got us in the situation that we are today.
Exactly.
Having our best strategies have a $16 trillion in debt and less than 30 days away going over this fiscal cliff.
Right.
And it's like we need to, you know, pause for the cause, if you will. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We got to step back and begin to remember the things that matter most. Let's get grounded. Let's hold on to this Constitution. Let's begin to do things the right way, God's way, so that we can actually make it.
Absolutely.
We can actually make it. But they want to share that. San Bernardino, this is California, and you're starting to see a trend. Listen, don't get fretful. There's no reason to be, you know, we just need to stay in God. If we stay in God, we're going to be all right.
That's right. We'll make it.
But at the same time, yeah, absolutely. At the same time, we can't be ignorant of the enemy's devices.
That's right.
We'll be right back. Steve, Vine Fellowship Network University.
Wow.
I'm so excited.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Steve, I've had the chance to go to Bible school before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It was good. You know, I learned a lot of information.
Yeah.
But let me tell you, Vine Fellowship Network University is about
getting revelation.
Yeah.
It's about literally finding out about the pattern of God and God's revelation on his church.
Yeah.
You're going to be so impacted by the lessons learned. You're going to be so impacted by the prophetic words. You're going to be so impacted by fresh revelation that's going to take you to the next level. And it's not going to get you just about studying where the church has been, but it's all about telling the world where the church is going.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Be prepared. Be a part of the harvest. Get involved. Get in the game. Stop looking at what others are doing and saying, you know what? I want to be prepared for the end time harvest.
That's right.
Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org.
You know, John, a lot of conversations I've had with people, you know, people are expressing a lot of hardship and difficulties bringing up family, you know, bringing up fathers, you know, and families are really going through a lot of hardship right now, and it's difficult. It's hard being family. And, you know, personally, that's where I was as well. And when I got introduced to the VFN family, it totally encountered me in a new way. And Jesus Christ used the VFN family to just display his love and, you know, the power of his presence through the VFN family to just draw me to himself. And I just want to encourage you that if you've grown up and you just had a lot of hardships, a lot of difficulties, a lot of pains, and family's been difficult to you, I just want to encourage you that, you know, the VFN family, we're just centered around Jesus Christ and just trying to love other people, love God, and just lead others to do the same. I just want to encourage you, check out vfnfamily.org.
Steve, oh my goodness. How many times you're trying to explain Vine Fellowship Network? And like, really, how do you explain this awesome revelation? Well, so many people are talking to me and they want to know more because they're so attracted to being the church instead of going to the church. Well, that's why we have Vine Seminars. Vine Seminars is an awesome opportunity how you can begin to start seeing this progressive revelation that has just been shared by God, how it's not as complicated as religion's made it out to be, but how it truly, truly is all about family and really fulfilling the Great Commission. I want to encourage you, get a chance and find out more at vineseminars.org.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together and we got to get people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America, then eventually that filled stadiums. But the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea. It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you go look at our history, our history started with next step. And it was it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep and they got back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had to stop that. Then God called us out to begin to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus and fill one particular stadium. And he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden, people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time. And you think about this, you think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this. In VFN radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces a someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like, think about it. I mean, if you just, for $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself, all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. Oh, my goodness. Well, you miss it. You miss a day of VFN Radio. You miss a lot, huh, Pat?
You sure do. Definitely miss a lot, that's for sure.
Yeah, we've talked so much today about just some of just amazing things that's happening. And you know, it's not just important to know the news. We say this often, but you got to know what to do with the news that you hear, that you know, right?
That's right.
And so we've talked about Israel today. We've talked about the Palestinians. Mm-hmm. I mean, you get voted an observer state. Observer state doesn't mean you're like fully in. You're an observer, you know. And you come back and tell the people, we're recognized. We're a state.
Right,
we're
going
to build a capital. Oh, my goodness. Stand with Israel.
Right.
But I know you wanted to share. I know that you had something on your heart you wanted to share.
Yeah, man, I heard this the story over the weekend. It was powerful. I think I was listening to Joyce Myers, and she talked about this. This lady wrote her a letter, and it talks about our thought life.
Oh wow!
So she tells a story about she had this fig tree or something down in her living room or whatever, and she said it needed more light, so she moved it upstairs in her bedroom. Well, she said there was this one branch on this fig tree that kind of stuck out from the rest, looked like just looked out of place. You know,
type of tree was that?
It was a fig tree.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, it just stuck out. She just didn't like this branch. It just looked terrible. So every morning she got up, she saw this branch. She just kept thinking about this branch. Man, this looks terrible. You know, it's awful. Well, day after day, she's had these same thoughts, but she looked at it one day, and then all of a sudden, the leaves on that one branch started to yellow.
Mm.
And eventually, those leaves eventually just fell completely off. That one branch withered.
Wow.
So she eventually just ended up cutting that branch off. But she got her to thinking. All I did was think about that branch, and it ended up dying.
Mm.
She's realized she had these negative thoughts towards this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So then she says in this letter that, you know, she talks about her relationship with her mother-in-law. Apparently, didn't have a very good relationship. And
in-laws or outlaws?
Yeah. Exactly. It was one or the other. And
hopefully,
she had yeah. She hadn't talked to her. She says she may talk to her mother-in-law maybe 6 times in a whole year.
Oh, wow.
So she decided to try an experiment. She goes, well, if that can happen with something like that, I think I'll just start thinking positive thoughts towards my mother-in-law. So she, when she started thinking about her, she started blessing her, you know, praying for her and just thinking positive things about her mother-in-law because she wow. wanted a better relationship with her.
Mm-hmm.
Within the next week, her mother-in-law called her 5 times.
What?
When she hadn't talked to her in 6 times in the last year.
Wow.
Is that not something?
That's powerful.
Our thought life. Mm-hmm. How powerful that is. So, which made me started, you know, looking at the scripture. What does God's word say about our thought life? Mm-hmm. You know, in Proverbs 23:7, it says, for what a man thinks in his heart, so is he.
Mm.
He talks about in Philippians, he says in 4, he says, fix your thoughts on what is true, what's honorable, right, pure, lovely, admirable. Think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise.
Mm.
So why is he telling us this?
Mm.
Well, obviously our thoughts are significant. You know, they determine what we do.
Mm.
You know, we have, like what Joyce always said, you got a bunch of stinking thinking going on around here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got no right to complain about what, you know,
yeah,
things absolutely. Falling apart in your life. And then it also says in 2 Corinthians, where it talks about demolishing strongholds. He says to take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ.
Mm.
You know, the weapons that we're fighting with are not weapons of our flesh and blood. It's spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But matters what we're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
the Wild Wild West up there.
Yeah. You know, dark thoughts take you to dark places.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So if that's the truth, then obviously the opposite is true. If we think good things, the good things can happen. In case in
absolutely.
Point, you know, with the story that we just heard.
That's powerful.
It's very powerful. And it really encouraged me and energized me to start changing my mind, you know, more positive things and speaking things out. Like our prayer life. I mean, that's what we're saying. God, we need you to intervene in this situation.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you think about it, your emotions tell on you so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Try this. Whenever you're feeling a certain way, you all of a sudden you're like sad or something. You think, mm-hmm. always ask yourself, what have I been thinking about
mm-hmm.
in the last? And our minds just go places without us even knowing.
Right.
Be conscientiously aware that our mind has been thinking on a certain topic. And you realize, oh, yeah, I know why I'm sad. Maybe you got a ticket or you got a bill or something. It's like,
right.
But your mind was set on that. Oftentimes your emotions and your mood tell on you. They tell on what's been on your mind. So mm-hmm. you can reset that. And so the Bible tells us, like you just told us, to think on these things, whether it's pure, lovely, excellent, praiseworthy.
That's right.
You know, what you think determines what you do.
Mm-hmm.
And what you do determines what you get.
Right.
You know, and if you don't like what you've been getting, you got to start changing what you've been thinking.
That's right. Battlefield of the mind, right?
Battlefield of the
remember
mind.
Remember that?
Mm. Yeah. Because, I mean, like you said, dark thoughts, wild thoughts will take you to wild places. Mm-hmm. Analogy right. the Lord gave me one time, just thinking about thoughts. It's so powerful that you mentioned this, is that, you know, think of thoughts like wild horses. You know, they'll mm-hmm. they'll come around. And come on, ride me. Let me give you a little thought. Let me get inside your head.
Mm-hmm.
And if you mount up on that horse, if you mount up on that thought and you stay there and get comfortable in that saddle, that horse is going to take off and take you to a place
mm-hmm.
where you are going to regret that you went.
That's right.
You're going to regret it. And these horses of thoughts, if you will, it's an analogy, you know, they're going to try to get at you every day. And that's why it's so important when we talk about this often, not because we're just talking about it, but it's just like central. It's like the most important thing in the world is to have an abiding relationship with God. Mm-hmm. If you don't have an abiding relationship with God, you don't have a relationship with God.
Exactly right.
You know, exactly you don't have a relationship with God in word because you say you do. Mm-hmm. You have a relationship with God or anyone else because you're actually interacting with that person you say you have a relationship with.
That's right. Nothing's going to change unless we transform our mind, right? Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to change what you're putting in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're going to change your thought life.
Yeah. And you're going through a transformational process. And mm-hmm. someone said, you know, well, you read that Bible, you're going to get brainwashed. And we're like,
well, I sure
yes,
hope so.
Exactly. My brain needs some washing.
That's
absolutely
right.
My mind needs some washing. Doesn't yours? You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't yours?
Mm-hmm.
You think about it. I mean, thoughts, they'll take you. And I like what you were talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, so the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, mm-hmm. that they have the divine power to demolish strongholds.
Right, which are wrong thoughts.
Yeah, wrong thoughts. And God's word, one of the scriptures to describe God's word is like a hammer.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're reading God's word, it's going around and chipping away and banging at these strongholds and breaking those mm-hmm. wrong mindsets and paradigms.
Right.
That maybe we've gotten generationally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like you ever notice you hang around with a friend or a buddy, it's like, where did that come from? How did that mindset, that mm-hmm. worldview, that ideology, what, you know, you're just talking or whatever, and then you realize, oh, yeah, my dad always said, or my mom always said, it's like, well, you know, at a certain point when we're growing in God, we want to check our thoughts and mm-hmm. what was said in the past by, you know, mm-hmm. anybody.
That's right.
To check that against scripture.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so this is powerful.
Yeah.
So start thinking good thoughts, speaking good thoughts.
Right.
And
good
I
things will happen.
Yeah, I believe even doing things in faith. And we talked about this yesterday on a leader's call, but we talked about vision.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about, remember, 2 Kings.
Exactly.
And that was encouraging because you got the king showing up to see Elisha. Here's Elijah getting ready to pass away. He's getting ready to die.
Mm-hmm.
And he's ill. And so he comes up to him. I believe it's 2 Kings 13:8. And comes up to him. And he finds out. He says, oh, king, father, you're passing away, you're dying.
Mm-hmm.
And Elisha goes straight to the point. I mean, he's like, Elijah's like a serious prophet, man. He's like,
all right.
He says, open the window. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, but open the window,
mm-hmm.
get your bow, get your arrow, and shoot. So he gets a bow, he gets his arrow, and he shoots.
Mm-hmm.
And so he shoots one time. He says, the Lord's going to declare victory for you at Aphek. You're going to have victory.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what happens? He says, go get some more bows. Go get some more arrows and strike the ground.
Uh-huh.
So he gets the arrows and he strikes the ground only 3 times. And so Elijah prophet says, gets angry. The Bible says, you got it. What? You only struck the ground 3 times?
All right.
I'm only going to give you victory 3 times. You're only going to have victory 3 times mm-hmm. against your enemies. If you would have struck it 5, 6, 7 times, you would have 5, 6, 7 victories, and you would have totally defeated your enemy.
Mm.
And you get to wonder about the king in this situation. You got to get to wonder in the king about this situation because he comes to Elisha, who is this prophet who's served the Lord many years. He's dying. It almost sounds like he's like bellyaching and wallowing there. And you almost think that, you know, did the king lose his vision there for a moment? Did he lose Right. His vision? Or was he just, was he looking to cry about the situation, or was he looking to be victorious? And it's just like how Elijah just sees the moment and says, look, prophetically, you need to step out. You need to do this. You need to move forward and open up your window. Open up this window. Shoot that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot that arrow. And you'll have victory. And it just reminds me,
right,
just right alongside with what we're talking about our thoughts, about what we're seeing, envisioning, you know, where we want to focus our lives, you know, what you set your mind on, your mindset, let me tell you, is going to determine your future. That's what God says, set your mind on things above.
That's right.
Not, you know, things below.
Mm-mm.
You know, a quick way to be depressed is to keep your mind on yourself. You know what I'm saying? Get your mind on Jesus and on others. But I think about this king. I mean, talk about vision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did he lack faith?
Right.
You know what I mean? Three times?
Yeah.
And Elijah said, listen, if you had struck the ground 5, 6, 7 times, you would have had victory completely over your enemies. And so I'm just reminded, as I shared, you know, we talked about this, you mm-hmm. know, is that this time, and we talked about even earlier in our program, that take this time, this month of December. I mean, really, I encourage you to do 3 things during this month, and maybe even 4 things, but definitely get your rest.
Mm-hmm.
Get your rest and relax in God, right?
That's right.
The second thing is look back and review. Review what God has done for you, for your family, in amongst your fellowship, in your church, the victory. Celebrate those things, right? Mm-hmm. Go through your planner and go, look what God did January. Mm-hmm. Look what God did February. I love doing this with my family, by the way. We just go back and we just start praising God just for all the things and the That's victories good. And all the stuff.
Build your faith.
And yes, it builds your faith. Because this is what God did. This is what God taught us. This is a lesson.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that was a rough month.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, then that happened. And then listen. Christmas is the day that we celebrate Jesus' birth is nearly upon us. I mean, this is one of the busiest months of the year. Take time now. Take time now to have vision for 2013. 2013 is knocking, banging at our door.
I know.
And do you just want to happen just to fall into 2013? Or do you want to arrive to 2013 with purpose? You want to arrive to 2013 with vision? Do you want to seize the opportunity of what's going to happen for a whole new year because you had vision?
Mm-hmm.
Because when the opportunity comes, you may just only pull out 3 arrows. You didn't know you were going to see Elijah. You didn't know. But, you know, since you were taken off guard, you just took out 3 and said, bam, bam, bam.
Right.
You know? But if you had vision, I think if the king had vision, he would start picking up twigs, sticks, would have been chopping off legs off of chairs. Just give me anything to shoot in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know?
Exactly.
Because I see vision. I see victory. So we want to encourage you. Seize your vision. Protect your thoughts. Speak life. Think good thoughts about God.
Mm-hmm.
And then watch God. Watch God move powerfully in your life. We'll be right back.
I know you don't know a lot about football, Pat, but
right.
You know, I don't know if you know Tom Landry. He was a coach for Dallas.
Right, the Cowboys.
Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that.
You are Googling up over there, aren't you? Anyway, so you're Googled up.
I'm Googled up.
Anyway, this is what he said. This is what he said. He said, you know, you have all these players, football players, for those that don't know, it's a football team, and they want to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
That's the goal.
Oh, now you're looking like you know everything. Okay, so then they want to win the Super Bowl. And so, but he's the coach and he has to lead them to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
He has to coach them. He has to get them. He has to help them work as a team because you cannot get it if you're not a team.
Right.
And you got to get together. Mm-hmm. And so he said this. He said, I have to get them to do what they don't want to do
mm-hmm.
to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Right.
Isn't that powerful?
That is powerful.
The coach said this. Coach Landry said this. He says, I have to get these players to do what they don't want to do
mm-hmm.
to have what they always wanted to have their entire life.
Mm.
And you have to understand, when it comes to the things of God, your flesh doesn't go, woohoo,
I'm going to fast. You know, I'm not going to eat for a week, you know,
right,
or
right.
It doesn't say, oh, this is so great. I'm going to deny what my flesh wants, you know?
Right.
And Jesus said in John 15 that we have to abide with him. We have to hang out, remain in him, spend time with him, mm-hmm. you know, abiding with him, which means, you know, spending time with him, reading his word, hiding his word in our heart, listening to what he's saying or impressing on us to do and doing it. So we have to, mm-hmm. and we do that, we can be fruitful, and we're called to be fruitful. Mm-hmm. But our flesh is sort of like, you know, Coach Landry's talking to our flesh, and he says, you know, and I'm saying, you know, to you that, you know, we're going to have to get you to do, your flesh to do, mm-hmm. what it doesn't want to do, so that your spirit man mm-hmm. and your heart and your destiny, things that you always wanted to come mm-hmm. to pass, become the past.
Right.
And we have a simple plan for you, a plan that begins to progressively take you on that journey, the same way that he was taking his football team. You can actually begin on a journey with Jesus Christ that he will take you to a place into your destiny if you abide with him. Your flesh is going to go, no, I don't want to do this.
Mm.
But your spirit man is going to get stronger and stronger and stronger. You know, everybody really wants their destiny in God like that. They want to walk with God, right, Pat?
That's right.
But you need a simple plan to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have a simple plan for you. You can go to iabide.org, iabide.org, and you can read through that, request a free, a simple plan for free, mm-hmm. and begin today. Just commit to 6 weeks. Commit to 6 weeks.
Right.
And just watch what God does. A set time, set place. All that's there for you. Mm-hmm. Simple little way to do it. No cost involved, just you, Jesus, your Bible, and a journal.
Right.
And you can find out more at iabide.org. That's iabide.org. Pat.
Yes.
Technology is amazing the way things are going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, people are just so, you know, things are moving so quick. You remember, you used to have to, I don't know if you might, you remember dialing the phone?
Yeah.
The dial.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, you mess up like on the seventh number or something, the sixth number. It's like, oh, man, they have 3 8s or zeros in their number. It's like, oh, my mm-hmm. goodness. You love those like 1 2 2 1. You probably don't even know what we're talking about. You know, a lot of the generations listen. But listen, you know, people text today, and the text sends a text message, and it goes all the way to China.
Right.
And it lasts, I don't know, it takes about 6 seconds to get there. And we go, hurry up. You know?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Oh, my goodness. But, you know, think about this. You can subscribe to VFN TV. It's free to subscribe. And you can have access to everything. And, of course, we want you to have everything, you know, by texting.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually take your phone and text, if you can text, text the letters V as in Victor, VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
That's VFN TV to the number 22828. Did you know that? You text, this is how simple it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that quick.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You can text VFN TV to the number 22828, and it'll walk you through a few little simple processes. And next thing you know, you'll be fully subscribed, and you can log in to all the wonderful things that are available for you on at VFNTV.com and on your Android phones and your Apple phones and your iPads. And I don't know all the things going on there. That's just so neat, isn't it?
That's awesome.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Cool. Just text VFN TV to the number 22828. That's VFN TV to the number 22828.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm John Ramos, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat and Chris. While we're coming to the end of the extra hour, we do want to talk about the VFN top three on the torch. Man, top three on the torch. One of the things we want to share with you is let the main thing be the main thing.
Mm.
And this was the moment we found out that, you know, he who pursues righteousness and love finds life, prosperity, and honor. Think about that.
Yeah.
You know, he who pursues, think about righteousness and love. And so many people are focusing on so many different things today.
Right.
But if we set our hearts and our minds, like you talked about earlier in the extra hour, on the things above and on God, if we pursue righteousness, if we pursue love, think about it, then he will find life, we'll find prosperity, and we'll find honor. I mean, it's so, so important, you know, and we don't need to be distracted. We don't need to listen, listen. God promises us this. It's a promise if we can focus on what the main thing is. Because so many times we get so distracted with so many things.
Right.
There's so many things grabbing for our attention.
Right.
Listen, it's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And it's not, you know, you don't have to be distracted. You can just focus on one thing. Listen, the main thing is Jesus. The main thing is walking in righteousness and right stand, you know, standing with God to the best of our ability. We live a repentant life and mm-hmm. we, you know, we aim to please the Lord and we pursue a life of love. Listen, without love, we don't have anything. Doesn't matter what we're doing for God, what we're doing for others. If we do not have love,
mm-hmm.
we're like a clanging cymbal.
Yep.
Just means nothing. And right. I think we, you know, oftentimes we need to slow down to the pace of love.
Mm-hmm. Don't matter how many gifts you've got, how many you can prophesy or sing like an angel. Means nothing.
Means nothing. Means nothing. And so it's important for us to slow down, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Slow down because slow to the pace of love. You may not get a lot accomplished, but at the end, you would definitely leave a whole lot of love behind.
That's right.
And the love, listen, we can make it. We yeah. can make it. God and love and relationships, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
This is the glue that keeps it all together.
Faith, hope, and love, right?
That's right. These three remain. Also wanted to talk about number two, and we shared this on Friday, but we talked about how the United Nations just voted to recognize the state of Palestine as an observer state. And we asked the question, was this a good idea? No. No. But you want to listen. You want to get informed. We talk about Israel. We talk about what's been happening. We talk about how 138 nations voted yes. Yes.
Unbelievable.
And about eight of them stood with, you know, including the United States and Israel stood against this.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're trying to do is circumvent Palestine from negotiating with Israel. And it's like, you're not going to force their hand into doing this. You know, you're not going to make them bring them to the table. They're going to have to want to deal with Israel and negotiate the right way.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very important. But listen, you know, you want to get up to date. You want to know what's happening because this is going to play out here in the future. You're going to mm-hmm. see more of this and you don't want to miss this segment. And the last one we want to talk about in top three, we want to talk about the citizenship test and game. If you have missed this, you do not want to miss another. This mm-hmm. week, we're not going to tell you when right now, but this week,
mm-hmm.
I am almost certain we are going to have the U.S. citizenship test and game. And basically what we've been doing, going on this journey, where Greg is our host in this game that we're playing. We're reviewing the 100 tests, the citizenship questions, 100 questions on the United States citizenship test
mm-hmm.
that someone who wants to become a citizen of the United States
mm-hmm.
has to take.
That's right.
And so right now, Pat and I are entering 5 at a time.
Mm-hmm.
We have just completed our third round of questionings.
That's right.
And we're a little concerned because we may have some self-deportation going on here. We're, you know, Samson Fright, as we were told.
Right, not Samsonite, Samson Fright.
No, it's creeping at our doors, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really good. This is really good. And we're gonna ask questions like, name one branch of the government.
Mm-hmm. I think you got that one.
Oh. What stops one branch from the other becoming too powerful? You know, who's in charge of the executive branch? These are questions. Think about it. We have to know our history. If we don't know our history,
mm-hmm.
and if someone wants to come to this country, think about it. You want to come to this country, you don't know anything about our nation,
mm-hmm.
then you get to make it into something it's not. We talk about how great this country is. Did you know that right now in California, it's been reported by The Sun? I want to share this real quick. 70 people were protesting against an alleged maternal hotel in Chino Hills. Listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, there is a home in some neighborhood where women from China are coming, pregnant women, to give birth to their children on U.S. soil.
Really?
And the neighbors are protesting. This we don't. What are you doing? We don't do this in our neighborhood. What's going on? I mean, think about what's happening. And people are coming over to the United States on vacation as tourists to have their children in the U.S. of A. so that the children can become U.S. citizens.
Wow.
This is the blessed land that we live in. If we're not careful, we don't know what's, you know, we don't know our history. Believe you me, we are destined to lose it. We're destined to lose it. So that's the VFN Torch top three. I also want to share with you before we get to the end of the extra hour is the wisdom moment. The wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 1, verse 23. Proverbs 1, verse 23. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How powerful is that? If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you. Sometimes that word rebuke seems like it's such a harsh word. It was just a correction. It's just an area of guidance. Let me tell you something. If you don't like to be, if you don't like to be corrected or guided, I mean, you're going to crash and burn in life.
Mm-hmm.
You know I'm saying life is about being guided and being corrected and just being instructed in the ways to go.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're talking about God would have poured out his heart and made his thoughts known to us. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, are you going to keep talking to someone who doesn't listen to you?
All right.
Are you going to keep talking and sharing wisdom? If you know what? No, that's not going to happen. Listen. What goes on further? But since you rejected me when I called, and no one gave heed when I stretched out my hand, since you ignored my advice and you would not accept my rebuke, I in turn will laugh at your disaster.
Mm.
You can't shake your fist at the hand of God. You can't shake your fist when God is using actually someone to bring wisdom into your life.
Right.
You know, I think a lot of people get wisdom and they don't want, you know, it's not just hearing God's voice, but it's obeying what God is telling you to do.
That's right.
Not hearing and ignoring, but hearing and obeying. And he said, listen, I would have told you more. I would have revealed more of myself. I would have opened myself up more to you. But you totally dissed and you totally ignored that which I wanted to bring to you.
Right.
And I wanted to talk to you about, you know, honoring me in this particular area. And you wanted to talk about revelation
right.
No. Let's let the main thing be the main thing, right? Mark Twain said, it's not scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems. It's the scriptures that I do understand.
That's right.
And so we need to be able to respond to whatever correction or guidance that the Lord is bringing to us in any way that he's doing that. The wisdom moment today is found in Proverbs 1:23. If you had responded to my rebuke, I would have poured out my heart to you and made my thoughts known to you.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.